Hello, and welcome to Columboys, the podcast all about the exotic, far-off, somewhat racist world of Lieutenant Columbo. I'm Mac, and with me as always is Ben. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Mac.
Hi. This week we'll be taking a look at Season 5, Episode 2, A Case of Immunity. This episode follows Columbo as he tries to pin down the first secretary to the king of a fictional Middle Eastern nation of Suaria, who is hiding behind diplomatic immunity. Despite having a cast of characters from the Middle East, none of the actors hired for those roles are of Middle Eastern descent. From Charlie Chan to John Wayne to Genghis Khan, John Wayne as Genghis Khan, so Laurence Olivier as Othello, right up through Scarlett Johansson as Motoko Kusanagi, whitewashing is a venerable tradition that continues to this day.
can we not call it venerable and maybe say it's deeply... Right. Problematic.
Well, it's certainly a thing that's happening. Yeah. Also appearing in this episode as the victim is Rebel Without a Cause and Planet of the Apes star Sal Mineo. This is sadly to be his final performance before his own real-life murder a short 4 months after this episode aired.
What?
I won't get into the specifics. It's real sad. Sal Mineo's death is tragic. Hector Elizondo, who played the murderous minister, was a frequent collaborator with Happy Days creator Gary Marshall, appearing in all 18 of his films, including Pretty Woman, Runaway Bride, The Princess Diaries, and his holiday trilogy Valentine's Day, New Year's Eve, and Mother's Day. Elizondo also appeared as Commissioner Gordon in the best Batman movie, the Lego Batman movie, Don't At Me.
You're not wrong.
It is. Yeah. It's just a fact.
No, it's absolutely the best Batman movie.
100%.
I didn't know he played that. That's great.
Yeah. I thought this episode is good, but it is also very bad.
Good asterisk.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is a well plotted thing, and I think if they had simply said that it was a European country,
yeah,
that all of the problems would be fixed, basically.
Yeah. If it was any kind of a European country and they had just made it up.
Or if they had gone to any trouble of trying to make this at least like reasonably authentic to what they were trying to do.
Right.
One or the other.
Well, we kind of know they weren't going to do that
right
in the 70s for television.
So, So as I said in the intro, it is this fictional country of Suaria or Suari. I'm not entirely sure.
Suaria? It's S-U-A-R-I?
And, yeah. But Columbo always says Soria every time.
Yeah. Well, and like there were like the student protesters, and one of them has a sign that I caught twice in it where instead of Suarians, it says Saurians, which are lizard people and are controlling everything.
They're not involved in this.
Chemtrails, I guess.
S-U-R-I-A, I believe, is the country.
S-U-A-R-I.
S-U-A.
Well, yeah, that's what it was on the plaque.
Right.
So that's why I wrote it down as that.
Suaria.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway.
We open inside the embassy. Hector Elizondo is breaking into his own safe.
Yep. Well, he's just opening the safe.
He opens the safe. He takes out some papers. He burns them. He takes out some money, gives it to Sal Mineo. The security chief comes in. He murders the security chief.
Yeah, they put like explosives and like
detonator. They close the safe again and put explosives on it with a timer, and then the security chief comes in. They murder him, and then Hector Elizondo leaves to go to a meeting,
right?
Which is about.
Which is like a downtown police headquarters.
Yes, it's in the police headquarters. Is where Columbo comes in. It's a meeting to discuss the security for an upcoming visit from the king of Suaria.
Yep.
And Columbo is there purely by mistake. There's another, I don't remember the name.
Yeah, basically they were supposed to bring in his captain.
No, it was a different cat. I think the guy he talks to who recognizes him and says, "Columbo, why are you here?" I think that's his captain.
Oh, okay.
But he's, because later when he's getting chewed out by the State Department guy,
you're right.
Same captain.
Yep.
I think it's like Captain Columbi or Calumby or something like that.
Yeah.
They've called in Columbo by mistake, so he's there. He doesn't really need to be, but it's just kind of their way to get him into the story.
Right. So this is like the Buttle Tuttle thing from Brazil.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Right. With the yes, I
there it is.
I was still in a Columbo mindset, so it took me a little while.
Sorry to go sideways on you. Like that.
From like the film Brazil.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. so then he gets a call. Hector Elizondo gets a call from the Salminio character.
Yep.
And
yeah, it's
he's pretending to be the security chief and acting like nothing's wrong, even though the security chief is dead. He's been like bashed. I thought that they were just knocking him out, but apparently they killed
No, they murdered him with a tire iron.
No, they didn't kill him with the tire iron. He killed him with like a blackjack.
Yeah,
it was like just a long.
Yeah, they claimed it was a tire iron and they found it out there.
I think that the tire iron was like a distraction or something like that. Like
so did they like
the
rub it in his blood?
Maybe. I don't know. Okay. There wouldn't necessarily be, I don't know if there would necessarily be blood if you hit a guy through like a head cloth or whatever. You know, wearing like a scarf I'm not sure what you would call that headpiece.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel
there's
like
there's a there lot were... of the particular clothing that neither of us are, we don't know enough about.
We should just look it up, honestly. But it's just kind of like that traditional kind of head garb, you know.
They're kind of meant to be like an Iranian analog, I think.
Yeah.
Because the king is young and progressive, and the women are wearing like pantsuits and normal stuff, and all the men are dressed sort of like Iranian Shah.
Like you can piece it together from, you know, the fact that it's in the 70s and they chose to do this, that it is probably Iran.
And there is sort of an undercurrent of progressive versus traditional, which is was in the 70s was obviously a big big thing.
Man, it just sucks how racist this episode is.
It does,
because it's not a bad episode.
No, and again, the plot, like the plot and the underlying story of it is good.
It's very good.
It's very good, and I think, you know, you could really take. I think this is why it's good, and one of the things that makes the story itself not racist is that you could take this story and move it anywhere.
Yeah.
It's just because it's a bunch of Italian and Latino actors playing Middle Eastern people but it's not like the story is not like.
Yeah. The story is never actually like, there's nothing actually racist in the story. It's in the casting and sort of the treatment of
the performance.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
because nobody goes, ooh, that's like nobody makes fun of anyone's clothing. It's never everything is always like
there's
respect.
There's like an early moment where Columbo during the meeting accidentally steps on the robe being worn by Hector Elizondo, and you think that might and like there's like maybe a worry that might kind of come into
because it happens a second time in the embassy, and that was the point where I wrote it down because I was worried that it was going to be their bit.
It's just another case of Columbo being an oaf.
It's not
meant to be any sort of like
clumsy,
joke. It's not a joke on the people other than Columbo. It is a joke on Columbo just being a clumsy guy.
Right.
But yeah, I think you could take sort of the basic bones of this and transfer it to any foreign country, basically, and it would be okay. Any country that has like a traditional monarchy,
right?
Because the fact that it's a king and there's sort of this sort of old style justice, which plays into the end, the catch.
Right.
So I think you would still need it to be like it could be like a small sort of Luxembourg, monarchy.
I mean, anything that is similar where it is a monarchy and where you have advisors and people who generally sort of persist, you know, as one king passes and their heir, you know, ascends to the throne.
Any kind of reform, because the it's an undercurrent. Like I think it's actually remarkably restrained in that you know sort of from context clues exactly what his motivations are. But I think it's actually a strong point of this episode that at no point do they stop, and even at the end when Hector Elizondo is like holding forth and just basically admitting to it.
Yeah.
He doesn't, like, Columbo says, why did you do it? And he goes, you don't care. Like,
yeah. He literally is like, hey, it has to do with my country. It's not your fucking business.
You're a homicide detective. It doesn't, who cares?
Yeah. You're not going to care. This is about my country and the way that we do things.
But I think you can get from the context clues that it's very clear that this king, who is the son of the previous king, is much more of a reformer. And the people protesting outside the embassy, it turns out we find almost at the end,
yeah,
are actually in favor of the king.
Right.
They're protesting the people around him who they're worried will lead him astray.
Yeah, they're specifically protesting Hector. Like, his name, his character's name, Sala, is on their signs that they're holding.
This actually turns out to have kind of been a plot to undermine the king. It just didn't work out that way.
Right.
And it's so he's sort of abandoning it in a way to just get away from it, I think.
Right.
I think, like, originally it was to discredit the king. We find out that Salminio is murdered later by Hector Elizondo.
Yep.
I'm just calling them by their actor names because I don't want to use the character.
No, I mean, it's still characters. Yeah, I mean, Salminio's character's name is Habib. Like, they really...
And there are definitely people named that, and not to suggest that those names in and of themselves are racist.
No, it's
we are two white guys desperately trying not to be racist on this podcast.
But it's also the thing of, like, you can look at this and be like, oh, they just didn't, but
they
still shouldn't get a pass for it, is the thing.
Exactly.
I totally understand if it is too much to sit through this episode.
And there's a part where they draw graffiti on the walls, and it doesn't mean anything. It's not actual writing any way.
Yeah, it's supposed to be political
slogans, but it's not Arabic. It's squiggles that look kind of like Arabic.
Right.
And you know that there was a certain amount of respect given, I think, to them as people, but not necessarily to culture and language and that sort of
thing. Weren't concerned about getting it right, and that's part of why they made a fake country to do this.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like making a fake country doesn't get you out of it either.
Yeah, and I don't think that, like, you know, I don't think that this would be a better story if it had been Iran, or if it had been a real country, and they had really tried to be more authentic. I think it's just bad. I think they probably just should have not.
Yeah.
But I still think it is a well-made episode.
Yes.
But it is a well-made, it is a good execution of a bad idea.
Yeah. 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 So, having said that,
right.
Knowing that glaring flaw is there. Yes. Yeah, I agree. The story is really solid.
Yeah.
It's the kind of episode that I would normally be all gung-ho over, because it is one where it's sort of very quick that Columbo zeroes in on who actually did it.
Yeah.
And then everything else is him just kind of like closing the noose / getting them riled up.
Yeah.
You know, and there's some fun back and forth in this because...
And it's an interesting premise because it's using diplomatic immunity.
Yeah.
Essentially, at the end... Well, I mean, we can just talk about that. So
yeah, so it's Lethal Weapon 2,
it's
right?
Lethal Weapon 2.
Without the bullets.
At the very end, he basically gets Hector Elizondo to confess.
Yeah.
Because he just says, like, well, you beat me. I don't know how you did it.
Yeah, he goes, I just want to shake your hand because beat me.
Diplomatic immunity. Yeah. There's nothing I can do about it. And because he's so calm and comfortable, he just tells him, he just admits to it casually.
Yeah, Columbo lays it out and he's just like, yep.
Yeah,
he essentially is like, yep.
You're very smart. You got me.
Makes him tea.
Yep, but oh well.
Like, because it's clear, like, the moment that Columbo says, I can't do anything to you.
Yeah.
Please don't get me fired from my job.
Right.
Like, his whole attitude changes.
Yeah,
and
he gets him a nice
cigar. Yeah, he's super magnanimous, and he's, like, the friendliest ever. And, like, oh, listen, don't worry about it. It's water off a duck's back.
Yeah, and the king turns out to be sitting in the next room over,
listening in,
and comes out and says, you know, well, if you won't accept American justice, we'll take you back and give you Suari justice. And he admits and confesses and signs a confession, which Columbo had three copies waiting in his pocket. It's a good little button.
Yeah.
And it's a great catch that is, of course, mired by this weird racist thing that's happening.
Right. Yeah.
But I think it is an enjoyable episode. I think that it is difficult to kind of get around get your headspace around this thing, you know. And for some people, that's not going to be an issue, you know. But for me, it was.
Yeah, I mean, that's just kind of what it comes down to. Like, obviously, you know, we're watching it because we're going to talk about it afterwards. And,
yeah.
You know, so I'm taking notes through the whole thing. And that's what got me through it, because I don't know if I had put this on, if I would have continued to sit through it after a couple of minutes of like,
yeah,
oh.
I mean, it's definitely sketchy. And we would obviously be remiss if we didn't mention this stuff.
And that's like, you know, accents are bad and they're all over the place. And they're all the things that you can and should expect from, you know, older television, certainly.
Sure. Let's talk about what we liked in this episode.
I mean, I think we talked about a lot of that, which is like the story. Yes, Jeff Goldblum is in this episode.
Appears very briefly.
Mm-hmm. More than once.
More than once.
However, only you can instantly see recognizable.
You can see his face in like two or three shots.
Right.
Towards the end when they're protesting the guests arriving to the party for the king.
Yep.
And you can definitely see old Jeff G.
Yep.
Big old 70 sideburns.
Yep, 70 sideburns.
Hair slicked back. Got that unmistakable buck tooth thing going on.
I mean, he's Goldblum, baby.
Yeah.
And he's a young one.
He's
in his prime.
Yeah.
I lie. I mean, his whole life is his
That's
prime.
His prime.
He still looks awesome.
Are you kidding me that he's not in his prime right now?
Yeah, no, of course he is. Like, it's not fair.
It's
George.
A,
yeah. Just,
no, it's, I mean, obviously we can't all be Jeff Goldblum.
No.
It's
best that we're not all Jeff Goldblum.
For the safety of everyone.
Yeah. Absolutely. But yeah, I mean, there's Goldblum. Again, like the interchange, the interplay with them is really, you know, like between Hector and Columbo is really good.
Yeah.
You know, like it's solid in all of its beats.
And I think the performances are solid.
Yeah. The coroner's like 70s plaid suit is kind of awesome. Like it's not like it. The lapels are just like they're the worst of the 70s.
Sure.
But the plaid is an interesting one.
And how about like, Sal Mineo's funky murder suit? It's not bad.
I really like that jacket.
He's wearing a maroon jacket with brass buttons.
Yeah, and it's like a kind of military style jacket. It's super snug on him, you know, like epaulettes, and then the buttons are that brass with some kind of like relief carving on them, basically.
Yeah.
I forget what it's actually called.
They look kind of like the buttons you'd find on like a blue blazer.
Yeah, like the classic navy blazer, but instead of having like anchors or whatever, I couldn't actually make out what was on them,
either.
And I didn't want to like freeze frame to go
sure.
Put my face against the television.
not this time, anyway.
Not this time. I try to refrain when we're watching it because I know it irritates you.
Not only slightly.
Well, it would irritate you a lot more if I did it as often as I want
bet.
To.
Yeah, I
but no, that jacket is killer.
Yeah.
It's very good. And then he's wearing, I mean, like the kind of classic 70s thing under it, which is like jeans and then like a denim Western shirt that has like those kind of like mother of pearl snaps.
Yeah.
And it's definitely unsnapped to 1975.
This is,
but it's a good look.
This is the second time in a row that Columbo has been wearing a tuxedo.
A tux, yeah.
Different tuxedo, you're saying?
I think it's a different tux.
Hard to say. Because
he says,
side by side.
In this one, he's like, oh, I borrowed this from my brother-in-law. And it says, it's kind of big. And initially, it looks like it fits fine. And then there's kind of a close-up shot where I thought it was a little big.
Mm.
But honestly, I would have to go back to Forgotten Lady, right?
Yes.
I would have to go back to Forgotten Lady and check the end of it and inspect very carefully. But I just thought the buttoning stance on this one is different, even though it is also a double-breasted tuxedo.
Well, let's see here. I'm pulling up a picture of the... Now, it's too dark on my phone, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, that's, picture of it. That's why I didn't want to...
Yeah. It's pretty similar though. I mean, it's the same double-breasted kind of thing.
But... Hey, I made a note and
yes,
and it's not about clothes.
What?
I know it's about plot, and
no,
it's
this
the
never
thing
happens.
We missed, which was when Columbo hands what is the actor's name? Who's wearing the red coat?
Sal Mineo.
Sal Mineo. When he hands his personal effects back to Hector,
right?
Hector says, well, you didn't open this.
Right.
Which and is Columbo, the... Columbo basically is like, yeah, it's not my business. And then And then Hector says,
yeah,
this contains documents that could lead to the overthrow of the king.
Right.
And that's the point where basically Columbo has foiled his plan.
Yes.
And so then he just backs off of it. But it's such a nice little thing that they don't like super try to make it this huge thing and keep repeating it or anything. It's just a really nice part.
We got sidetracked, but yeah, I think I was trying to talk about that and then we got into the whole thing. It's fine. But yeah.
We probably got sidetracked by the racism.
It's part of the layering of this thing that he's sort of subtly trying to undermine the king. There's a part later where the king is getting on a plane to leave. This is right before the end, and we later find out he didn't leave and he took a helicopter back.
Yeah.
The guard, who's sort of the main guard, other than the one who died.
Right. He was the second in charge.
I think he's the only other English-speaking guard there. So he's kind of our only other character in that way. And he says to Hector Elizondo, there's very much of the father in the son, saying that, the new king is very much like the old king.
And Hector says, no, it's the throne that makes the man, not the blood.
Yes. He's very much not a fan of this new king, which I think you can even kind of tell in their scenes together.
You can kind of tell that he's really gunning to get rid of the king / take over the throne if he can manage it.
The king loves Columbo, which I think is great.
Yep. Yep. No, it's very good, actually. I mean, and obviously it's integral to the way that this plot shakes out.
Yeah.
But we
don't really know how Columbo managed to arrange this with the king. How he managed to get in contact with the king and share his plan.
Yeah. I mean, because the king basically tells him, hey, if you need anything, just call me.
Talk to this
guy.
Yeah.
But it's how do you go over the head of the king's basically number two?
Yeah, because you can't go through the State Department. The State Department hates him.
Right. The State Department is no, you need to go kiss ass and make up.
The State
Department literally says, well, we do not condone murder. However, we're in delicate negotiations with,
It's possible that as he was being drug out of the embassy that he ran into the king and managed to explain himself in such a way, because that would be immediately prior to the king leaving. So I think we'll have to assume that that's what happened.
Yeah, I'm okay with that being off screen and not being spoon fed to us.
It is a minor, I don't want to say plot hole, but it is a minor unexplained issue.
Yeah, there's a cute little bit, speaking of that party,
because
Columbo just shows up in the tux under his trench coat.
He's been ordered by the State Department and his chief to apologize, and he said, well, you know what? I'll apologize in person.
Yep.
And they both seem very happy about this, which is weird because they don't seem to understand Columbo at all.
They kind of have forgotten that it's Columbo.
Right.
And they just take his word exactly as read.
The State Department guy doesn't have any reason to expect, but that guy's chief, Columbo's captain should know.
He should definitely know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And either he's in on it or he's just
being
stupid.
He seems legitimately relieved to hear that Columbo is going over there, which is weird.
And to his credit, he does hand over his apology after basically laying it out to Hector that he knows he was the fucking murderer.
As he's being escorted out by two armed guards.
Yep. Which is a good bit. It's a good bit.
But he's there. Yeah, he's there in his suit at this party
this tux. And there's a bit he keeps repeating about Mrs. Columbo insisted that he wear striped pants and he didn't want to wear striped pants and on and on and on.
Because they're fancier.
He didn't think it felt right. And then he says something about maybe I should have worn them. And it's this little bit, and then he says maybe she saw it in England. And it is from England. It's the striped pants that would normally get worn with a morning suit.
Are they the side stripe? A racing stripe?
No. It's not
pinstripe.
When he says stripe, it's more like pinstripe. And that's the typical kind of thing that you would wear. It's not really pinstripe. It's more of a multi-stripe, I guess you would say. But when you see it, you definitely know. And it goes with the morning suit, which is the longer kind of almost tailcoat.
Now, when you say morning, you mean M-O-O-R or M-O-U-R?
M-O-R, like okay. in the morning like part the of the day. Gotcha. Like if you're at an event that is before noon, it is a morning suit that you're supposed
to
wear.
Which is, this is kind of a brunchy, lunchy kind of party, right. day party that's happening right now.
Yeah, technically it's incorrect that he's wearing a tuxedo right. and evening wear
that's evening
during
wear?
The day.
I see. Yeah, and then we also see him, Columbo is always very fiddly and sort of mm-hmm. in this episode tests him to his very limit because he's
constantly,
yeah,
like all the antiques.
There are so many knickknacks and, I mean, not yeah. knickknacks, they are antiques and antiquities, yeah. but to him they're knickknacks and he just can't resist touching them. Mm-hmm. And just the entire episode, he is picking something like that is worth his year's
probably,
salary
yeah, exactly
up and Hector Elizondo is like slowly taking it away from him
and putting it back and resetting it carefully and yeah. saying perhaps we should go talk in my office
or just hiding it from yeah. him somewhere. Yeah, it's that's a fun little bit. And then later yeah. when he meets the Chinese diplomats, he's like that's from the third century, which yep. is the one thing that Hector Elizondo
told him
yep. earlier in the episode.
When he's like, oh, we have one just like this on our dining room table, and he's like, this is from the third century and it's worth several thousand dollars,
right? He's like, oh, I think we got ours at the discount mart
or something like flea that. Market or who knows.
Yeah. He's a weird little gross man.
He really is, but I can't help but like him.
There's a part where he's in, this is like literally the most objectionable single thing I think I've ever seen him do. This is worse than the Ashes in the Pocket to me.
I don't know, Ashes in the Pocket's
it's
real
pretty
bad.
But he's in the kitchen and they're cooking something on the stove and he's like, is that beef? I think that smells like beef. And then he just grabs a fork and he's just going
to
like...
Oh, it's the spoon that's in it that the chef is using to like move it around.
It
and okay. he just picks it up out of it like
he's just going to eat from... In a kitchen.
Yeah, you're right.
At a buffet.
You're right.
He's going to eat from the pot.
It's a little
it's
worse
disgusting.
Than ashing into his own pocket.
He's so weird.
Well, I just...
Even in that moment, like, he's like, I didn't realize how hungry I was later.
Yeah.
And then there's a funny joke where he's been eating snails. Haha, snails.
Right.
But... In that moment, I cannot relate to this human being who would think in a strange kitchen, uh-huh. in an embassy, to just pick
the
up...
The thing that is acceptable for you to do is to taste this and then contaminate it with your germs.
Yeah. Just pick up the spoon. I have to assume that once he had taken a bite, he would just put that spoon back right in the plot.
Oh, you know he would.
He absolutely would have done that. He's a gross man. I love him, but he's disgusting.
It's... Yeah, I... It's real bad. He's a gross man, and I'm going to think about that every time I see him with a cold in an episode. I'm going to be like, you did this to yourself, man.
Yeah, Columbo's like a dog. Like, my dog, I love him, but he's disgusting. Like, he licks his own butt. Like, I'm just like, I love you, but also, you're gross.
Right. But, and then he tries to lick your mustache.
He does.
And it makes me feel bad. I'm sorry that I brought that up.
Yeah, well, we're all sorry about it.
Let's all not think about that.
Thing
that I said.
Yes, indeed. So
maybe just edit that out.
I can't. It's now 90% of the episode, unfortunately. I have to edit it into earlier parts of the episode. I don't know why. It's just what's happening. I think this is an okay episode. I wouldn't necessarily recommend watching it because of how uncomfortable it is.
I would like it a whole lot better if, as you say, they just went, you know what? It's a generic European country and we cast a bunch of random Europeans.
Yeah. I mean, even if they had cast it differently, like if there had been some sort of care taken to make it more, you know, respectful to the world that it is.
I mean, this is the only thing I can say about it. And this is not good.
Right.
You know, it is just... It wasn't as bad as I was bracing for it to be, which is at least they didn't put anyone in actual brown face, like painting their skin brown.
No, definitely.
They did not go that far. That doesn't make what they did okay.
I just want
to be clear about that, because like that's way worse. That's
they definitely
like,
used more dark, like darker skin actors.
Yes,
to sort of simulate that.
But, yeah, because they went, oh, we can't possibly find people who actually are from any country anywhere near Iran.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what it's hard to say what the casting situation was like in but let's it's just true. Say they did not. They certainly do not seem to have tried, as they got nobody.
No, they since they didn't no efforts.
Since they did not hire a single actor from North Africa or the Middle East or somewhere comparable
right.
to the setting that they were trying to portray, that they didn't try.
Yeah.
I think it's safe to say they didn't try.
No, absolutely.
Not that the people who weren't there didn't give good performances. It's just that they were not the right actors.
But it's not a criticism of their performance. It's a criticism of like the people running the show not putting that effort
in. I'd love to see Hector Elizondo as the murderer in a Columbo, not as a racist caricature.
Well, is this the only one
this is the only one you
said. Oh, God damn it.
I believe so. As far as I know, but this, we're not going to get that. I don't think.
Yeah. But yeah. So I'm with you. It's an uncomfortable. I would say. You know, I mean, if you've watched other stuff that is, you know, from this era, and you can kind of sit through it and, you know, enjoy what you can out of it, despite the problematic, really uncomfortable things, great.
Yeah.
It does have a lot of good going for it, but also, like, it's not so good that I'm going to desperately argue that you have to push aside the problems with it to watch it.
Yeah.
There's plenty of other Columbo that is
good. Yeah. You can skip this one. You can get to next week's.
Just go back and rewatch last week's.
Forgotten Lady. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I think that'll do it for this week. You guys should join us next week. Will be season 5, episode 3, The Return of Patty Magoo. Patty McGowan's will be back.
Yeah.
Patrick McGowan.
Very excited about it.
Patty Magoo's.
Yeah.
Will be back for Identity Crisis.
The PMGs. Yeah. That's going to do it. This has been Columboys. I'm Ben.
I'm Mac.
Oh, and just one more thing.
What's that?
Mac, here is my written apology for the mustache joke. I'm really sorry about that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Columboys is hosted by Mac Johnson and Ben Swallow. You can follow them on Twitter at MacJ and at DandyGeek. The Columboys theme is by Seth Boyer. For more information about this and other great Waffle Media projects, you can go to waffle.media. Thanks for listening.